Afternoons with Matt Webb. Cambridge
105. Morning, welcome to 105 Breakfast. 5 minutes past eight on Monday, the 7th of July. Good morning.
Good morning. And this is a very exciting this morning.
I know it
today.
Is. What's happening today?
Well, we're down in Parker's Pieces.
Oh, yes. Of course we are.
Thanks, guys. I'm with Lewis Herbert, who's the City Council leader on Parker's Pieces. Good morning, Lewis.
Good morning. What a day. Well, I've been walking the streets because we've got about 900 stewards out. We're expecting 120,000 people in the city.
I believe that Julian Clover has found a group of school children. Julian?
I have, Merlin, and thank you very much. I'm with their teacher, who's Ian, and the school, there's two combined schools, Gislingham and Palgrave, which are in North Suffolk.
North Suffolk, just right next to, between Diss and Stowmarket. Two rural schools. We've come down today to enjoy and just see the spectacle. The Tour de France is a massive event. We're looking to really promote PE within our schools.
There's something that seems to be happening over our shoulder, Tim.
There is. I think it's the start of the publicity caravan. It's sort of going along the road, getting into position. And Julian and Sam Davis are on their way. What can you see?
Hello, Tim. Hello, Matt. Yeah, we're here. The publicity caravan is going past. The large Skoda van, one of the sponsors, I think, here. I've got Sam Davis, as you say, alongside me. Sam, you've seen this sort of thing in France, I think, in the past.
Yes, I have. I was at Stage 10 last year. It's a great festival. The caravan for the French is one of the most exciting bits of the whole day.
I think Tim would get very exciting here with the giant fruit chute contraption going past with a man on the trampoline who is fortunately tethered to a couple of large straws.
And I think we can cross over to Cambridge 105's Becky Marcus, who is on St Andrew Street. What can you see where you are at the moment, Becky?
Hi, Matt. Well, we are right at the front of the crowds and I can only see people at the moment, but it's like a Mexican wave effect. Basically, far down the line, we can see people cheering. Right now, we can see them at...
We can now cross over to Ian Dayborn and Lee Last, who are around Church Street. What can you see?
The atmosphere is electric. We have a big crowd. They're heading our way. Here we go. You can hear the crowd on St. John's Street.
We can now cross over to Cambridge 105's Andy Lake, who is at the A1309 Waitrose Junction. Good afternoon, Andy. What can you see where you are?
So the crowds have turned out on force. It's absolutely unbelievable, the numbers that are out here. That's right, all of the official cars or the motorbikes are coming through now as the action is really, really heating up. We can just see in the distance now crowds of cyclists coming through.
We're going to have to leave you there, Andy, because the riders are beginning to make their way to the next destination where Phil Rowe is waiting for us. That is in Great Shelford. What can you see where you are at the moment, Phil?
Yeah, I've got a 500-metre view to my left and another one to the right, so I can see the stretch for about 1 kilometre here. We're seeing the escort vehicles in front of us now. We're on the A1301. And here comes the lead now. As we pass by, there's already a breakaway of two riders in front of the main peloton. The rest of the pack are a long way behind at this stage.
Hello, can we have a quick chat with you? You're live on Cambridge 105. Where have you come from today to see the race?
Well, we've just come from locally, but I live in Herefordshire, and my son and daughter-in-law live in Cambridge.
Where were you standing to see the race? Whereabouts along the route?
Trumpington Road, right out on the outskirts, but still very, very crowded.
We've also got a couple here. I'll come and have a quick chat with you. How did you find it, guys?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it was, I think the sunshine helps a lot, but it was great to see all the different colours and all the bikes and everything.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a great race. It was over a bit quickly for my, you know, wait for a long time, and it, you know, only lasts about 15 seconds, but it was worth it. It was really good.
So it's hard to believe that was exactly a year ago today. And joining me in the studio, I've got a whole panel of guests to talk about the Tour de France and its legacy. Ruth Brannan from the All Ability Cycling Project You Can Bike Too. Noel Kavanagh, he's Cambridgeshire County Council's cycling champion. Hugh Salt from Cambridge Dutch Bikes and former Cambridge MP Dr. Julian Huppert. Good afternoon to all of you today.
Hey,
good afternoon.
How are you?
Hello.
Not too bad. So first of all, Ruth.
Hello.
It's quite strange hearing about all the sort of things happening with the Tour de France. How much of a legacy have you found with regards to your project You Can Bike Too?
I think it's just brought an awareness of cycling to so many different kinds of people with disabilities and people just lacking in confidence. It's just brought everybody on board. People often think of the cycling brigade as like a cyclist, but people can now see there are lots of other people cycling. You know, everybody and anybody can cycle, and that's an awareness that's come this year, I think.
And Noel, you're Cambridgeshire County Council's cycling champion. It must be quite an honour to be in such a role.
Yeah, it's a role that I think you could say I was the right person at the right time. It just came my way, and I've had a really busy time in the role since I was elected 2 years ago. I've been getting involved with local groups, ranging from sporting groups to groups like Ruth's. And also, I've been working and supporting the cycling project teams as they're putting together new infrastructure for Cambridge and Cambridgeshire. So it's been a very busy role, and it's a great time to be in the role as cycling is really taking off in the way that more and more people are getting on two wheels, getting out of their cars and really enjoying getting around on two wheels.
Absolutely. And Dr. Huppert, you were one of the people that helped bring the Tour de France to Cambridge. How did you find the event last year?
I mean, it was amazing. I mean, amazing experience just to see Parker's Piece like that, the huge numbers of people. It was brilliant. People were saying it sort of flashes past in an instant, and in some ways that's what the whole day was. I mean, the day was amazing, but it was a huge amount of work stretching way, way back. And I remember some of the earlier discussions where we're hoping that some year we might be able to put in a bid, and actually it was led by our colleagues in Yorkshire who were very keen. There was a whole lot of negotiation, and I mean a whole lot of people did a lot of work. Tim Bick was very involved. Sarah Brown ended up on the board, having to deal with a lot of the details of getting it all to work together. And it's amazing we managed to get it done, and managed to get it done actually at such low cost. I mean, it was an amazing event, particularly for the cost here. And people still talk about it. I talk to school groups who still remember the excitement of it. And we may have another one because Britain is bidding again. There are three bids in to host it for 2017, I think. Who knows? Maybe we'll have another one here.
That's an interesting thought, Hugh, that the Tour de France could come back to Cambridge again. What's your take on that?
It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I mean, not only in the town centre, the whole route. I was out at Trumpington. We put on a cargo bike, kids and cargo carrying with lots of races and stuff on Trumpington Wreck. And the flashing past was part of it. We all ran to the end of the road to see them flashing past, but the whole day started much earlier and didn't finish till about 7 at night. And it was a sort of spirit that it elevated the way we look at the Tour de France and the way Britain looks at its cyclists. It's the last years they've come up in status. It's getting to the status of other sports, and it's for a long while it's been a bit neglected because we were over here and they were over there, and we had a few people who took part, but it wasn't a national following like it's got now. It really has emphasised how much of a sport it is for people. I look on the roads every day at Grantchester where I live, and I see in the evenings a stream of people cycling past.
And that's always good to see that sort of thing.
These are sports cyclists. I mean, we do have... Cambridge has always used its bicycles. Cambridge has always been a city where if you went shopping, you went on your bicycle. And we're now getting back to that, obviously, because of various factors that make it very difficult to go shopping in your car. And it's bringing back the community. I've got a workshop in Mill Road. That's becoming a very, very good community area. And people will buy a bicycle, they will stop and shop on the way to pick their children up from school. They pick the children up on the bikes, and on the way home they stop and they've got contact with people. And it's actually knitting communities together. It's doing a lot more than just being on a bicycle and relieving congestion.
Absolutely. And actually, on the lead up to the Tour de France, there was a whole host of meetings happening between different cycling bodies and organisations to help bring the legacy together. And I think you were actually on that panel, weren't you, Ruth?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I think Angela, one of our project team members, somebody with a learning difficulty, was there too. So people with learning difficulties were having their input and say as to what they would like to. And I think that's an important part of the Tour de France, and all the planning was that the input was not just from, you know, the cycling, sporting people, but it was other people in the community. And you're quite right, Hugh, it was about community. And that planning was really did involve a lot of people in the community. So it's good to be involved.
Absolutely. And sort of coming on from the legacy of the event, Dr. Huppert, obviously this was under your watch, most of this, when it came to actually organising and obviously setting the legacy, like the Vélo Festival and things like that. How have you found the last 12 months after the Tour de France?
I mean, I think anybody who thought that the Tour de France on its own would transform cycling in Cambridge or in the country was asking too much of a one-day event. There has been a lot of legacy, whether it's through the schools, the festival, as you say, and really just continuing the push that we're seeing. It's not the first thing that's led to that. We've also seen a lot of lot of government investment, I think more than ever before, an extra $10 million to improve facilities in and around Cambridge. And I think we are able to get more and more people cycling. We already lead this country in terms of the number of people who cycle for work or education. We need to go a lot further. We need to make sure it's safer and also that it doesn't inconvenience pedestrians, for example. That's why I think the new segregated facilities will be good for cyclists, pedestrians and drivers. But it's also, and I think Ruth's point is really good, there is this image of cyclists as lycra-clad young men. Yeah. And actually, it's much, much broader than that. Whether it's the sort of all-ability cycling from You Can Bike 2, or, you know, women of any age, children, whatever it may be. I know people who are, as they get older, unable to walk around Cambridge very easily, but can still cycle. So it does enable people to get around. And I think the tour is an important part of that, but we can't assume that that would be the only thing that would fix it.
And something that you also run, Hugh, is the, well, you run Cambridge Dutch Bikes, but you also run the School Run Centre. Have you found a lot more people using your services since the Tour de France?
Well, that's difficult to measure because I'm always completely flooded. I'm the only person in this area doing this. I think I started it probably 10 years ago. Living in Holland for the last 30, 40 years, I very quickly realised that we have to take on a lot of the ideas there. And I was there when these cargo bikes were born that take two or three children in the front. So I sort of was at the dawn of these things happening. And fortunately, I've got the best makes and the best models. And people just come with along with their children and say, well, what do you advise? So we're not only functioning as a shop to sell them things, we're functioning as an advice centre. And hopefully we give them good advice. Well, the proof is that of the cargo bikes, the two wheels, there are over 100 in Cambridge.
You see them around quite frequently, actually.
You go to a school or a nursery and you see at least one or two or three in of each model standing there. And it's actually knitted parents together as well. Mm. It's got quite a sense of community in that respect, that people do identify with each other and think, oh, I've got a cargo bike. Oh, which one have you got? And it's, it becomes a... Fortunately, it's a status thing. There are some very bad imitations out there, but I won't dwell on those because I wouldn't put my children in them.
Absolutely. Now, Noel, you've welcomed the news that for every £1 we spend on cycling, there's a £35.50 return on the investment. Tell us a bit more about that, because it seems sort of a very good return on the investment, actually.
Yeah, I think behind that is the fact that when investment is made in cycling, it is actually... compared to investment in building roads and so on for vehicles, it is actually still quite low. And the return, proportionally, is much, much higher by having the investment in cycling. And the build on that is that the more people who cycle, the healthier people are going to be. So there's less strain on the NHS and so on. There's less absence from work because people are healthier because they're exercising on a more regular basis. So that's what's behind that statistic. A very low level of investment actually leads to a huge return compared to other forms of investment.
And speaking of investments, Ruth, one of the City Council grants was actually awarded to You Can Bike 2. Right. Have you found that very beneficial for helping run the service?
Absolutely. It means that we can actually deliver sessions on a regular basis because people are asking us, you know, when are we going to be in the park? When are we going to be in the park? And they want to know that we're going to be there on a regular basis so that they can drop in when it's convenient to them. So the City Council grant was amazing. The County Council have also provided a huge amount of investment too in our project, and there's a lot of really lovely support from the various departments in the County Council, City Council. So yeah, we really appreciate that. We couldn't do it without them, actually, because although we're trying to roll out the sessions, it is financially we need to make it run properly, and so we're building another side of it too. We're also running team building days for businesses to bring money in from that side to help people with disabilities cycle. So we're trying to move on from funding grants to making something bigger and better, and you know, which will sustain, it's more sustainable.
I suppose that's what it comes down to, Dr. Happer, isn't it? It's making sure that the money is available for projects like Ruth and obviously any other cycling projects that want to launch in the city.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ruth's project is particularly brilliant. we've talked about it many times, but yes, and I think this key point that you don't need very much money to make things a lot better for people to cycle, to open it up. Mm. To get a school to have more children cycling can be as simple as having somewhere safe and covered to lock the bikes up. For a workplace, it can be as simple as having a shower somewhere or somewhere to store some clothes. It doesn't cost a lot, but it's absolutely right that, you know, Noel's absolutely right to say it will save a huge amount of money. If you look at health. The estimate is that we'd save £17 billion a year if we cycled at Dutch levels. I mean, that's 17 billion quid. That's a lot of money that we could use. It's also better for the environment, both sort of nationally, internationally, with carbon emissions, but also locally, fewer particulates, less air pollution. It's really good for individuals. It's good for society. People get to know each other, the point that's been made several times. So, yeah, investment, whether it's in projects like Ruth's, whether it's in new facilities on a small scale, bigger scale, it is a phenomenal investment. It's why I spent 5 years in Parliament as co-chair of the All-Party Cycling Group. We managed to get more money into cycling than ever before. If I'm honest, I'm a little concerned whether that's going to continue. And we've already seen some reductions in that. I hope that's just temporary, because I think all of us here at least would agree that there is far more investment. If we get up to the sort of Dutch-type levels of cycling, that would help so many people at relatively little cost.
And, no, that's an interesting point that Dr. Hupper's there, yes, about funding cuts and how it could have an impact on cycling.
Yeah, and what is good is that funding that comes from many sources. I mean, we mustn't forget British cycling, you know, which is investing continuously in getting more people cycling. For instance, there's this wonderful Skyride program, which is out there to get people who are new to cycling confident in cycling. So there are regular groups of people going out with trained leaders to take them through the skills required to be safe out on the road. And as far as I'm aware, that money is still going to continue to be invested. And in the Cambridge area and Cambridgeshire, there is a demand for people who are, you know, lacking a bit of confidence to get out in groups. And another organisation is called Breeze, and that's specifically for women who want to get cycling, but they're a bit tentative, understandably. So let's have more of this happening. And yes, there has been a cutback in the promises that were made by the incoming government in the funds that are going to be devoted to cycling. But fortunately, we've now got a new local MP who's taken the place of Julian and Daniel Zeichner, who's actually on the same committee arguing for more investment in cycling. Another thing I'd like to mention is, which is part of the legacy of the Tour de France coming here, is I think the Tour of Cambridgeshire, which took place 3 or 4 weeks ago, in fact I was in it myself, I don't think that would have happened if it wasn't for the Tour de France coming here. Because I think that the success of the Tour de France made people aware of just what people are looking for in Cambridgeshire. And this huge event that took place, starting in Peterborough, doing a circular route, had some over 5,000 people taking part on closed roads. And that was the novelty. And I think that's going to become a permanent fixture in Cambridgeshire. And it highlighted to people, not just in our local area, but beyond, just what a attractive county we have for cycling, particularly for those who don't like going up mountains.
That's right. That would be good if that actually happened. And Hugh, now you've cycled, obviously, around the continent as well as in the UK. How does it compare?
Driver attitude is one of them. Most people in Holland drive a car. They ride a bicycle and they're a pedestrian. There are quite a big proportion of people in this country who are one or the other. And that sort of tolerance between each of those, I'm not a great fan of separating anybody. I like every road that we can cycle, walk or drive on to be safe for all of those users. So in some instances, I agree that it's nice to have them separated, but I don't think that it leads to increased safety. I mean, probably there are a few examples in Cambridge recently. The island on Moby Road is just a nightmare. Even the police say, why did somebody design this? It's a very strange fact that road architects, as far as I know, don't actually get any feedback as to whether things work or not.
That's an interesting point, Julian, that Hugh makes, that segregating cyclists from cars does have its benefits, but it also does have its pitfalls as well.
I think it depends how you do it. I mean, the Dutch and the Danish have had huge successes. They lead the world, really, in cycling and safety. Oh, they do have a lot of segregated facilities.
We were very lucky.
What we've done wrong, I think, in this country is too often is to have these sort of awful shared-use pavements, where you say to cyclists, please go along with the pedestrian squeezing under that bus stop, wherever it might be. And that is actually bad for both cyclists and for pedestrians. Nobody likes them. So what we've done is completely the wrong thing. We've taken probably the two most vulnerable road user groups and crammed them together in an inappropriate way. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, I think he's right to say that there's too much of a tension between pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers, with people annoyed at the other lot, and that doesn't help. I led a big inquiry, and we produced a report called Get Britain Cycling, which made recommendations, including about training for people who design roads, as I think you were saying. Yeah. And I worked very hard to make sure that our recommendations were supported by cycling and health organisations, of course, but also by Living Streets, a pedestrian group, and also even got the president of the AA. You know, if the president of the Automobile Association thinks being good for cycling is a good thing, and the pedestrians do, hopefully everyone else can agree and we can get on and do a lot of it.
Now, Ruth, obviously you run You Can Bike Too, which is based in Milton Country Park. When it comes to sort of when you go out and cycle in the streets and things, and obviously your colleagues, do you find that attitudes have changed towards cyclists, or do you still find that car drivers can still be quite aggressive towards people on two wheels?
I think they can still be quite aggressive to people on two wheels, I have to be honest. I think it does depend where you are. I mean, I do quite a bit of cycling, obviously, around Cambridge in the city, but also go just sort of local leisure cycling. I'm not a cycle cyclist, I'm more a leisure cyclist. And it just does depend where you are. We don't tend to take our adaptive bikes out of the park onto the roads unless we have instructors who are obviously trained up to cycle with them, because some of them are fairly large and can be a bit little wider than the cycle lanes, especially if you're going up the Histon Road on that thin little cycle lane. There sometimes can be challenges with the bikes, our special adaptive bikes, but as a two-wheeler myself, there are still challenges.
I suppose one of the big questions is, where do we go from here? Obviously, the Tour de France happened 12 months ago. We don't want it to be a flash in the pan. A lot of us who are keen cyclists like myself would like to see the legacy continue for years and years. How are you going to go about making that happen, Noel? And obviously, being Cambridgeshire County Council cycling champion, it's one of your key things that you need to do.
Well, we're continuing to increase building the infrastructure. We mentioned the segregated cycleways. I'd like to see a very comprehensive network of segregated routes, not just in Cambridge City, but beyond, because there is a huge suppressed demand out in the market towns and joining the villages together beyond the city limits, so to speak. We've got the finances now in place to get the Chisholm Trail constructed and the bridge over the Cam that's going to carry the Chisholm Trail, and it's going to connect the new station in Chesterton to south side of the city. So that is going to be a massive improvement for everyone in Cambridge when it is done. It's going to take a while because, you know, planning has to be approved and for certain stretches and so on. But the positives are there, not just for cyclists, but also for pedestrians and also people who choose to use their car. And they are going to hopefully there'll be less vehicles on the road, so that there'll be more movement. So the improvements of dangerous junctions is going to continue. But behind it all, going back to what we said earlier on, it all relies on funding. And we're going to continue to pressurise, you know, central government to provide those funds. We also mustn't forget that we also have had funds from Europe for some of our projects, like the Radigan Road Dutch roundabout had a certain proportion of that investment came from Europe. And the momentum is there. The Tour de France coming here last year was part of a wave that started a few years back. And we've got to just keep the energy behind it. And there's no sign that it's going to let up. The City Deal discussions, as I say, mentioned, the Chisholm Trail features there. We also want to have east-west routes as well. We want more joining up between businesses and where people are living and so on. And again and again, we hear from people saying, we want to cycle. We want to cycle safely. So the County Council and the City Council are doing their utmost to make that happen.
And Hugh, a final thought from you and the rest of you in just a second. What is your fondest memory of what happened 12 months ago, actually, on the day? What sticks in your mind the most from the 7th of July?
I think the whole day. I mean, we got there, the weather was glorious. The attendance, even at a place like Trumpington, was fantastic. We had 300-400 people there. And as soon as somebody said, they're coming, everybody rushed, and it was just a complete sort of flood of people going down to the main road, and it was very quick, but it was so impressive that people came back and said, wow.
And Dr. Hubbard, you were actually very close to the start line, weren't you?
Yeah, it was amazing just to see the sort of sea of people. Some backs, obviously, with the cyclists when they were there, and the hordes on each side just crammed in trying to watch. And, I mean, for me, just seeing that density was really quite special. I was also quite lucky because I managed to leg it then onto the train and get to London to the end. I don't know how many other people... So it turns out I can go faster than a Tour de France cyclist as long as I get to use the train and they don't. And it was amazing to see sort of that at the end there of Cambridge arriving in London, that there was a real sense there that it was putting Cambridge on that map. But it was just to see the huge number of people, the sheer excitement, the transformation of Cambridge.
And Ruth, is set for the Lycra.
Well, do you know, there's two things. When I walked up Mill Road from my house that morning, and it was just, there was no traffic, and it was just so quiet, and there was hordes of people just walking up Mill Road. It was amazing. And then Jerry Bird being on our wheelchair transporter bike before the Tour de France, before the rider, she went on the beginning of the route on our bike, and it was just such a scene because people were clapping and cheering her, and that was amazing.
I remember seeing that. That was absolutely wonderful. And finally from you, Noel.
For me, well, personally, because I've always been interested in cycle race, I used to race in my youth. For me, it was a wonderful moment to meet some of my past, the heroes from the past, like Bernardino, who was there at the start. And the joy that I've always had out of cycle racing, I was very pleased to see masses of people experiencing those same feelings I had years and years ago when I was persuaded myself to take up cycling and take up this very painful sport, which is also very satisfying and has kept me healthy throughout my life. And I hope it inspired hundreds, if not thousands, of people to take it up as a sport as well as a leisure activity for, you know, pootling about, as we call it, and for transport. So, yeah, the day was unique, I think, in the history of Cambridge, and as was mentioned right at the start, you never know when the bids go in again, Cambridge might be in the right place for a stage finish or a stage start again.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Julian Huppert, the former City MP, Hugh Salt from Cambridge Dutch Bikes and the School Run Centre, Noel Kavanagh, the Cambridgeshire County Council Cycling Champion, and Ruth Brannan from the All Ability Cycle Project, You Can Bike Too. Thank you for joining me on the Tour de France panel this afternoon. It certainly proved an interesting talking point in and around Cambridge, and you're all on your bikes today, so you'll all be cycling off very soon. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.